Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. His life was tied to Judah, and he was used by God to repeatedly warn the descendants of Abraham that destruction would come upon them if they did not turn from their wicked ways. Jeremiah never had a lot of joy in his life because the people never repented. They just continued in their sins and rejected the word of God. The one bright spot was serving under King Josiah, but his life was short-lived and it must have crushed Jeremiah's heart when Josiah's son returned to evil and undid every godly thing his father had done. Like any capital city, Jerusalem was full of political maneuvering, and Jeremiah was recognized as a national prophet even though the people did not heed his words. This message is entitled, God's Prophet to Judah. Now let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, I'd welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church Worldwide. And we finished the teaching that I had on the Antichrist. And I asked the Lord last week, what do you want me to do next? And he has led me to speak of the prophet Jeremiah. I have done a series. I preached on the book of Daniel. I preached on the book of Revelation. I covered the book of Ephesians. I covered the book of Romans, the book of Acts. And eventually I'm slowly going through all the books of the Bible. So we'll talk about Jeremiah. This is an introduction. And let me just pray for myself here. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you right now for giving me the strength, the power, the anointing to teach this message today, Father God, so that, Lord, we can learn and we can be victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah was called to preach in 626 B.C. And he tied it to the kings. We know exactly the year he started. He had a run for 33 years. His ministry lasted for 33 years. And he tried to warn the people of Judah, of Jerusalem. Matter of fact, the book of Jeremiah is a powerful prophetic word that we should really learn to study. We're going to study this time now here. So, I think that this book is very pertinent to us today. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's a bonus scripture. Praise God. I've given it to the people running the program here today. So Deuteronomy 28:58. This is the warning that God gave through Moses to the people of Israel. And when Jeremiah started his ministry in 626 B.C., that warning had been given 1,870 years earlier. Let me run it by you. God spoke the prophecy in Deuteronomy. And by the time Jeremiah came, 1,870 years had passed. God gives us a lot of rope before we hang ourselves. Now, Jeremiah knew this. So let me read to you here briefly from verse number 58. And this is what God said to Moses. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God. Then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and a long continuance, and sore sicknesses of a long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of. They shall cleave unto you. Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in this book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you, until you be destroyed. You shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught. You shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. And the Lord shall scatter you among all the people, from the one end of the earth, even unto the other. And there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. This is a powerful prophecy that God gave to Moses and said, tell that to the people. Previously, in his chapter, he had said this in verse number 15. That's Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. In the beginning of the chapter, God talked about how much he will bless Israel. He said, I will bless you. The blessing will overtake you. You and I have a sinful nature. We are born rebels. Have you got to understand that as a rebel, I don't want to obey. I don't want anyone to control me. I don't understand that if I rebel against God, I'm going to be controlled by the devil. The unsaved people do not know they are controlled. They think they are free. But they're controlled by the devil, by their lust, by their sin, and they are not free people. So God warned Israel. And eventually, in 727 B.C., God simply, word came through. The Assyrians came in, destroyed the city of Samaria, which was the capital. They took every Israelite of the 10 northern tribes. They took them all and brought them in chains and resettled them all the way as far as Persia. And they lost the land. Judah, in the south, small nation there, just Judah and Benjamin, they saw that. They realized that. And you would think that if somebody had seen that, they knew the prophecy spoken and said, wow, this happened to those 10 tribes. We better shape up. But you see, you and I are rebellious. And we're going to look upon how they lived in Judah. Now, you and I, we're living in the United States right now. The good times are rolling temporarily. We got a reprieve. But you got to remember that we are up against a prophecy. That is simply saying this, things are going to be bad, very bad. Take your Bibles and turn me, if you can, if not, just listen, to Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to read a few verses from this prophecy. Verse 1. This prophecy was given by Jesus to the Apostle John 1,928 years ago. 1,928 years ago, this prophecy was given. It has not been fulfilled, but it will be fulfilled. Guaranteed. Let's read. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horn 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet was the feet of a bear, his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And Satan gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his head wounded to death. His deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon. The dragon is the devil. And they worshipped the devil, which gave power unto the beast, to the Antichrist. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, or unto this man, who is able to make war with him? Why would Jesus call him a beast? Because he's going to be the most evil man this world has ever seen. It was given unto him a mouth speaking great things. Blasphemies and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain for the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. We have a prophecy. And that prophecy is simply telling us that there is an Antichrist coming. Jeremiah had a prophecy. And once he started his ministry, he was preaching for 33 years. And then Judah was destroyed. The people removed. The temple destroyed. And the kingdom of Israel was no more. Do you think that Jeremiah, when that happened, was happy and saying, I told you so? No, he wept. He was grieved. And so what I want you to think now as we get into this message is that what we got here today is temporary. Right now we got President Trump. We got the economy is roaring back. We got some good time coming. But listen, folks, it is not going to last. If we, as the Christians, pray, we might get another 4 years of President Trump. Another 4 years. But eventually, the Antichrist would come. How should we live? We should simply say this. We have money right now. We can build. We can do things. Let's use it. Let's do our job of preaching the gospel, praying for the sick, casting out demons, ministering to people that have needs while there is still day. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 18. You know, Charles and I were talking about this, a title for this message. And I said, Charles, it doesn't matter what kind of title we put on it. The people that are into fluff, we look upon that and say, Jeremiah, I'm not interested. people like to hear juicy stuff about Satan, demons, the Antichrist, bad things, the deep state, all the conspiracy. Man, they eat on that saliva drooling. That's what they want. But when we're going to give them the Word of God, solid, good steaks, they say, nah, I don't like that. So I told Charles, this message is going to be for a few people that want the deeper things of God. Amen. So there you have it. Let's turn now to 2 Kings. Let me find it. 2 Kings, chapter 18. And this is a story here. This is a record, actually, of the destruction of the northern kingdom. And it came to pass in the fourth year of King Hezekiah, which was the seventh year of Hoshea of Elah, king of Israel, that Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came up against Samaria and besieged it. At the end of 3 years, they took it, even in the sixth year of Hezekiah. In the ninth year of Hoshea, king of Israel, Samaria was taken. And the king of Assyria did carry away Israel unto Assyria, and put him into Hala, into Habor, by the river of Gozan, and the cities of the Medes, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord our God, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord our God, but transgressed his covenant. And all that Moses served the Lord commanded would not hear them, nor do them. That's why they were destroyed. Now, Jeremiah cried over that. If you turn to the book of Lamentation, which is probably a book that you never read. So, Lamentation, the very small book, comes out after Jeremiah here. And let me get up to it. There's Ezekiel. Don't want you today. There's Jeremiah again. Here we go, getting closer, closer. Lamentation. Got a new Bible, kind of stick together. In Lamentation 2:5, the Lord was an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He swallowed up all her palaces. He destroyed his strongholds. Has increased in the daughter of Judah, mourning and lamentation. That's pretty hard for a prophet or preacher to say. God became their enemies. Because in most churches you hear about the love of God. God loves you. Oh, just come on down to the altar. Jesus loves you. There's love here and love there and so on. But they never talk about responsibilities. It never talks about obeying God. It never talks about that God is also God of judgment. God is not just the God of love. He's also God of judgment. Yes. Now, we made an image of God. And let me ask you this question right now. You answer it inside of you. You want to love, right? If you're a Christian, you want to love. And you try to be loving. But then it comes a time if somebody cross you, if somebody do you harm, or somebody do somebody else harm, and you see that, then the love will be replaced with wrath. And you will say, no, that's not right. And you will go after that thing. And someone will say, well, I thought you were love. Yes, I am. But I'm also of justice. Just like God. He's a God of justice. Let me read that verse again. The Lord was our enemy. You know, We don't like the communists in China. We don't necessarily don't like the Russians because they have their own agenda. We don't like ISIS. There's some people we don't like on this earth. But what God did was this. The people that Israel despised, hated, he tricked them, he prospered them, and he used them to punish Israel. The Lord was an enemy. He swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all the palaces. He's destroyed his strongholds. Has increased in the daughter of Judah mourning and lamentation. Here now is Jeremiah. 101 years after the destruction. You and I don't remember the Civil War. We read about it, but it was before our time. But the Civil War was bad. A lot of men died, both sides. They were bayoneting each other. Stupid running up against the Eton formation. And just hacking each other to death. It was bad. Have you learned something? Are we as Americans learning something? And Jeremiah now stood there in Judah. And God said, I want you to start preaching. Turn up to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, and the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came out in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, at the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and to the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the 5th month. I'm going to read his calling here. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you a prophet unto the nations, the entire world. God now simply said this, Jeremiah, before you were conceived, I had prepared, I had designed you. You did not exist, but I designed you. If I can use the term, I was working on my computer, and I designed you because for a time just like this. I put strength into you. I put in intelligence into you. I put in all the things that you needed. And I have made you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. He was a young man, probably in his 20s. He said, I'm just a child. You see, in Israel at that time, the age of when you were became an adult was the age of 30. That's why Jesus started at the age of 30. We lowered it to 18. And you can see that 18-year-olds do not know what to do. Jeremiah looked around. You see, Jerusalem and Judea was no different from us today. The politicians in those days were called princes. And you had different factions, different political parties. And they were fighting. There were conspiracies. They were lying, cheating, trying to get more of this, more of that. And everyone was trying, you know, to get more. And they were immoral. Worshipping at different altars. They were into sexual sins. They were into alcohol. They were into all kind of different things. And life was simply not good. And Jeremiah standing there. And simply, he must have felt inside of him, am I going to preach to this mess? Who will hear me? And you look at America today. Look how sinful we are. If you're not into sports, you're into something else. Every person, unless you are Christian and dedicated, you have a pet project. There is a society for everything. If you ladies want to crochet, you know, you got your own magazines, your own TV channels. Everything is there. If you're into horses, everything is there. If you're into racing, everything is there. If you're into boating, fishing, whatever it is. I tell you what, we have it today. This world is split into many different little smaller worlds. And we simply say, you know, who cares? And then you have all the clubs and all the filth and all the television programs and all the movies. It's a flood, it's a septic sewer coming at us. And we're standing and say, what can we do, Lord? Well, that's what Jeremiah felt. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child. If you should go to all I shall send you, and whatsoever I command you, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I want you to think with me right now. Do you think that God wanted Judah to repent? I think he did. I don't think that God wanted to destroy Judah. I think that God wanted to save Judah. That was his desire. And he sent down a first-class prophet. Not a yo-yo, but a first-class prophet that will declare the word of God. Now, we do know the Antichrist is going to come, but the timing is not set in stone. Let me say this again to you. The timing is not set in a stone. If God's people will humble himself and seek him and pray and fast, God will move that forward. He will give us more time. If God sees that his church is efficient, we are harvesting, he's going to say, I want to keep the harvest going longer. He move it up. But if he sees the church squandering, not harvesting, he might move it backwards. The people of Judah did not understand what God really was saying to them and what he wanted them to do. And the Lord said, say not to I'm a child, for you shall go to all I shall send you. And whatsoever I shall command, you shall speak. Be not afraid of their face, if I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. The same Holy Spirit that was with Jeremiah is with us today. The same Holy Spirit. Today, we have the Word of God. It's put in our mouth. And look upon what God said he wanted to do. See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build and plant. Well, Henry was praying here before of removing the rotten stuff in our nation, destroying it, replacing it. You and I have a fantastic opportunity right now. If we take it. Now, as a ministry, I'm pushing as hard as I can. We're trying to do everything we can with a few things we have. We had to work with finances that are very small. And we had to turn a dollar over at least 5 times before we spent it. We're doing what we can every day. And I pray that God would also have you do the same thing. So here we have not Jeremiah, a young man. And you might be here today, or you might be watching us, and you says, you know, what about my future? What about, do I have a future? You have a future. You should live like you got 100 years to go. And be prepared to leave today. In other words, have your plans. But at the same time, have your bags packed. You're ready to go. But until you get the word, push, push, and don't sit back. Let's turn to Jeremiah, now chapter 11, if you're going to look upon his life here briefly. Jeremiah chapter 11. Now, just like you and I, he had problems. And Jeremiah remained in Anathoth until the men of the city attacked him, and he was forced to flee or be killed. Remember this now, Satan, his fallen angels, and the demons, they work all the time. They do not take any vacation. They don't sleep. They never give up. They have one thing that they determine, to destroy you, to destroy our nation. That's their job, destroying people. They want to put you in the grave. They want to wipe you out. They want to simply take you out of the equation. And many people are stupid enough to allow them. You got to stand up and say, I am not quitting. In Jeremiah 11, verse number 21, we read this. Therefore, thus is the Lord of the men of Anathoth, that seek your life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord, that you die not by our hand. Have you ever had anyone say, shut up, I don't want to hear about Jesus. We'll kill you. We'll do this or that to you. Well, that's what he told Jeremiah. Therefore, this is the Lord of hosts. Behold, I will punish them. The young man shall die by the sword. Their sons and their daughters shall die by famine, and there shall be no remnant of them. For I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Yeah, God came knocking on their doors 33 years later and said, your cup is full. It's time to die. Now, what did Jeremiah do? He simply moved on. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse number 6, we read this. For even your brethren and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Yea, they have called a multitude after you. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto you. Jeremiah said, I have forsaken my house. I left my heritage. I given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of our enemies. It's rough when your own dad, the priest, turns on Jeremiah and said, shut up, son. You're out of order. And for the father to plot against him, for the brothers, the family to plot against him. You see, Satan does not fight fair. He hits you under the belt, if you understand what that means. When you're boxing, you're not supposed to hit under the belt, because that's your soft belly. But the devil's not fair. He would hit your kidneys. He would hit your liver. He would hit your heart. He would hit anything he can. He hates you. I wish that tomorrow morning when you get up and you look your face in the mirror, that you understand this. God loves you, but Satan hates you. And he said, you're still alive today. I thought I killed you yesterday. Well, let me give you another round today. But we've got to learn to stand. And having stood, to stand. So Jeremiah moved to Jerusalem. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. That's 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And you know, the Bible doesn't say how Jeremiah made a living. You know, he had to eat, he had to have clothing, and there was no free lunch in those days, like it is no free lunch today. And the Bible doesn't say how he made a living. But apparently, God supplied him, helped him. He was not like a pastor working in some kind of a synagogue full time. He was a prophet. He would come and he would go as God moved upon him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 1 through 7. So this is when Jeremiah came to Jerusalem. And now this is a good time. They had a Donald Trump that came on the scene, King Uzziah, 8 years old. I'm sure they questioned his, you know, insanity. They questioned if he was, you know, fit to rule. I'm sure they said, you know, what's your mental capacity, and so on. Let's read here. Uzziah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. So he reigned for 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, when he was yet young, he began to seek out the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from high places, and the groves and the carved images, and the molten images. And they break down the altar of Balaam in the presence, and the images that were on high above them. He cut down, and the groves and the carved images, and the molten images he break in pieces, made dust of them, stored them on the graves that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars, and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the city of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simon, even of the Naphtali, where the mattocks ran about. When he had broken down the altar and the groves, and beaten the grave with empty powder, and cut all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Now, Jeremiah came to Jerusalem. Joyous. Wow, we got a good king for a change. And the king ordered destruction of all idolatry. All the temples were broken down, altars destroyed. And this is a good time. And I'm sure that Jeremiah at this time said, you know, this is great. This is just the beginning. But you know, it was not to last. In chapter 35 of 2 Chronicles, and we pick it up here in verse number 20. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Edom, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. and Uzziah went out against him. Uzziah made a mistake. This is not his fight. His job was to keep the revival going. And you see, when the revival comes, when God began to use us, the devil says, okay, I can't stop you. Well, let me give you another project. And he gets us derailed. But he sent ambassadors to him saying, what have I to do with you, you king of Judah? I come not against you this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear you for meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy you not. Now, God used this ungodly king of Egypt to say to Uzziah, look, don't get involved here. Don't meddle. God is with me. I am come to destroy Assyria. Uzziah was a godly man. He loved the Lord with all his heart. He's done all good and done all the things he should. But you see, as I said in the beginning of the message, we are rebels. Every one of us, including myself, we are rebels. And here, Uzziah decided, I am going to get involved in this fight. You get involved in something that God not called you to do, it will turn out to a disaster. Go and do what God told you to do. Nevertheless, Uzziah will not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. Notice now, he tried to be clever. He camouflaged himself. He didn't put his royal apparel on. He didn't ride in his royal chariot. He thought, I can grin and do this. Listen, God will find you out. If you are where you should not be, he will pick you up. He will jerk you around so fast you don't even know what hit you. Never did Uzziah would not turn his face from him, but disguised himself that he might fight with him. Hearken unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God, and came to fight in the valley of Megiddo. And the archers shot the king Uzziah. And the king said to his servant, have me a wife, I am sore wounded. His servant therefore took him out of the chariot, put him in the second chariot that he had. They brought him to Jerusalem, and he died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Uzziah, and Jeremiah, lamented for Uzziah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Uzziah in a lamentation to this day. And made him an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. Setback. We got to understand we're going to have setbacks. Combat is not the same as practice runs. When you are running practice runs with an army, you have 10 trucks in the morning, and at night you have 10 trucks. You have 15 tanks, you got 15 tanks at night. You go to war, and you might have 6 trucks left at night. They're going to shoot at you. You might have a few tanks left, and the rest are burning on a battlefield. So remember this, we are in combat. The ammunition Satan is using is live. He's not shooting rubber bullets. These are live ammunition. And we need to have the whole armor of God. We need to be smart. We need to have the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit. And we need to learn to fight. We have weapons. We don't have to be defeated. But we got to be smart. Now, there were political battles in Jerusalem. Turn back to 2 Kings chapter 23. And you know, just like we have here today, now, they didn't have a press in those days. They didn't have a media. But they had people that were, you know, criers, talking. And it was gossiping. And God today is laughing. He's simply laughing at the idiots in this country that are every day on our television programs, chewing this up and, you know, making things up and hamming things and quoting one another and just keeping us in an upheaval. And God says, you know, foolishness. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Do what I told you to do. In 2 Kings chapter 23, we pick it up in verse number 30. And his servant carried him in a chariot dead from Megiddo and brought him to Jerusalem, that's Uzziah, buried him in his sepulcher. And the people of the land took Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, and anointed him, made him king in his father's stead. And Jehoiakim was 23 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 3 months in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamathal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his fathers had done. This king lasted 3 months. And then he was done. And he was taken, the Egyptian took him out, put him to Egypt, and they put in another king. There were political parties. We had the group that favored Babylon, and then you had alignment with Egypt. And God told that the judgment was imminent now. So let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 26. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord saying, thus is the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak unto all the cities of Judah which came to worship to the Lord's house. In other words, I command to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Don't hold back. If so be that they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent of me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. And you say unto them, thus is the Lord, if you will not hearken to me to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servant the prophets, which are sent unto you, both rising up early and setting them, but you have not hearkened, that I will make this house like Shiloh, and make the city as a curse to all the nations of the earth. So the priest and the prophet, all the people, heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all the Lord had commanded him, to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets, and all the people took him, saying, you shall surely die. He preached the word. And who came against him? The church. We got to remember now, in the end time, the organized church will line up with the Antichrist. And the organized church will be against those of us that are preaching the word of God that we have not compromised. Now it came to pass, when Jeremiah made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him, to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, you shall surely die. Why have you prophesied the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh? Shiloh was destroyed, a heap in northern Israel. This city shall be desolate and without inhabitants. And all the people gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. They were ready to kill him. Now, we are facing the Christian Zionists. And I want to tell you this. They're militant. You try to go up against the Christian Zionist, pastor, deacon, elder, member in the churches, and tell them, you know, are you sure that you supported the right cause? They're going to look at you. Their eyes are going to be bulging. They're going to redden their faces and saying, you know, if you do not eat, bless Israel, you know, God is going to curse you. You heard it. That's what Jeremiah was up against. But the princes of Judah, the politicians, heard these things. They came up to the king's house, the house of the Lord, and sat down to enter the new gate of the Lord's house. That was a new courthouse. Then spake the priests and the prophets unto the princes, and to all the people, saying, this man is worthy to die, for he has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your ears. The church fighting the politicians. The church said, this guy here has to die. What did they say when Jesus came? This man has to die. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words you've heard. Therefore, now amend your ways and your doings. Obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him and the evil that he has pronounced against you. He simply didn't back down. He said, change, repent, do what's right. And then he said this in verse 14. As for me, behold, I'm in your hand. Do with me as seems good and meet unto you. But know you for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves, upon this city, upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord has sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. I want you to see Jeremiah now before your eyes. At this time, he did not know if he was going to be killed or not. Have you ever had a mob against you, screaming, cursing you, wanting to hang you, shoot you? That's what he saw. Ugly faces, screaming faces, like the women you see marching, and the women's lips, filthy, angry, horrible faces. He did not know. But you know what he did? He simply said this. I don't care if you kill me. That's your problem. I have spoken the word. I will not take the word back. I will not submit. Now, God used the politicians. Then said the prince and all the people unto the priests and to the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he has spoken to us in the name of the Lord our God. And you read the rest of the chapter there, and he got saved. Let me tell you a story right now that is true. You know, we sing this song, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. You remember that song? Now, let me tell you the story of that song. About 120 years ago, in the country of India, there was a man, his wife, two children. And the man had been saved, called, and he was a pastor evangelist. And he was very successful in the village he was in India. And people again come to Christ. And there was a village leader in another place that simply said, this man has to die. So he sent down his soldiers, took the pastor, his wife. These were native Indians. And brought him up in the conference, put him in his own village, put him in front. And simply said this, you have to renounce Jesus. You've got to stop preaching that. Or I will kill your two sons. The man said, I have decided to follow Jesus. And they killed the two sons in front of his eyes. The village leader now said, I'm going to kill your wife unless you recant and renounce Jesus. And he answered, the cross before me, the world behind me. And they killed the wife on the spot. Now the tribal leader was furious. And he said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you unless you recant. And he answered him. And he simply said this, don't anger with me. I still will follow. And he was killed. The Holy Ghost came down upon that village priest, who actually was a shaman. And he suddenly lost it. He began to cry out. He said, if these four people are willing to die for this Jesus, I need to find out who he is. And someone gave him the gospel. And he accepted Christ and got saved. And there was a revival. That whole village got saved. So 15, 20 years later, another Christian in India came upon a place. He was told a story. And the Holy Spirit moved upon him. And he wrote the words, I have decided to follow Jesus. That's how that song came. From India, he came to the United States. And he was very popular during the Jesus Revival movement in the 60s and 70s. You know, we sing a song like this. It got a nice tune, nice words, but we do not know what it took to write that song. It's obvious that this is how far I'm going to get here today. So we're going to stop right here. But I want to ask you a question that I want you to have take home with you. If you are confronted by a mob, by a single person, whatever it is, and they said, unless you shut up and stop speaking the name of Jesus, do you have the power to say, no, I will continue to speak in the name of Jesus. Someday in the future, we might live long enough that the Antichrist will be here. And will we have the guts? Do we have the willpower? Do we have the conviction? Do we love God so much? Do we love Jesus so much that it doesn't matter? We are willing to give our lives for his name. That's what I want you to go home and think about today. That's what I want you to wrestle with today. I want you to come to the place where you make a decision that you have decided to follow Jesus. Do not go with me. The cross before you, the world behind you. You are not going to budge. These are the kind of people God is looking for. Are you going to be one of these people? Or are you going to be a loser? You know, there's a lot of people in the time of Jeremiah. They lived, they died, their names are forgotten. But Jeremiah, his name lives now. Will live through the thousand-year kingdom. And in the eternity, his name will be there. Jeremiah, the prophet. Now, is your name going to be there? Man or woman, boy or girl, is your name going to be there? No compromise. Do you not watch me today and you're not saved? Let me say this to you. If you really, you know, I really want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to be saved. That's what you do. Just tell God right now, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I'm sorry for my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day. And I believe that you paid for my sins. Come on Jesus, and save me. And he will. When we finish here, after Brother Thomas has come and prayed, you're going to have Brother Charles come. You're not going to see him, but on your screen, you're going to hear him on your speakers. And he will take you step by step in how to be saved. And then he will pray a sinner's prayer for you, a plan of salvation prayer with you, to make sure that you are saved and born again. And to those of you that are Christians, I want to ask you this today. Who are you living for? God or yourself? It doesn't mean you should not work and have stuff and so on. But what is your priority? And have you prepared to stand if you are confronted? Do you believe in Jesus? Please examine yourself, Brother Thomas.
Father God, thank you for this history lesson today, Lord, that we have taken in, Lord. And this is not revisionist history. This is the true history. Quite the difference between the two, Lord. And we thank you for the Bible that tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, Lord. So we thank you for the prophet Jeremiah, who fulfilled his calling and did what he was created to do. And we thank you for the people that were diligent to write down the words that they were supposed to write down, and those that were diligent to preserve the word, that we might have it for us today. And we know that there are those that want to destroy the word, but it will not be destroyed, because Jesus said it will live through eternity, Lord. So we thank you for the word of God. We thank you for eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord. We thank you that men and women are adhering to the word, listening to the word, receiving the word, Lord. And we are truly blessed for it, Lord. And John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for enabling each one of us to walk in your ways and to persevere and to be victorious to the end, Lord. We thank you for also the stories that we've heard about Christian men and women as good examples of the Christian faith, Lord, and we pray that the Christian faith would be renewed, that it will be revived across the United States of America and throughout the world, Lord. And we just praise your name for that, Lord. We thank you for the reprieve that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the first part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled, God's Prophet to Judah. At the onset of his ministry, Jeremiah felt inadequate to do the work of the Lord. No doubt he was overwhelmed by the prevalence of sin in Judah. Yet God comforted Jeremiah with the knowledge that he had specifically been chosen for this time period. Jeremiah didn't know it then, but he would be regarded as one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. The one bright spot was coming to Jerusalem and being part of the awakening that took place under King Josiah's reign. However, the revival came to a halt with Josiah's death, and it must have crushed Jeremiah's heart when Jehoahaz returned to evil and undid every godly thing his father had done. By this time, Jeremiah was recognized as a national prophet, but the different kings, princes, and other rulers of Jerusalem just spent their time gaining money and power and living hedonistically. Jeremiah would prophesy for some 33 years, grieving over his people and their refusal to repent, virtually ignored by everyone until the Babylonians finally arrived just as God had predicted. While this is not a story with a happy ending, Jeremiah can stand before God with no regrets because he did exactly what God asked of him. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1637. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address, once again, is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.